Let's turn to James chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. James chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. But he must ask in faith, without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that person ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. The NIV says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for this morning. We ask for your presence. We ask that you would speak to us, God. We welcome you here. We love you, Lord. We give this time to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. James chapter 1, verse 5, he says, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, and he will give it to you. He gives generously without finding fault. And he goes on to say in verse 6, when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Ask in faith without doubting. So I want to ask us a question. When James says he must ask in faith, or when you ask, he must believe, what is it that James is saying we have to believe? Faith in what? And when he says, without doubting, or do not doubt when you ask, what is he saying? Doubting what? What is the doubt that James is referring to? And what is the faith? I think a lot of the times we would interpret it this way. When James says, when you ask, you must believe. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. We think faith in this idea or the believing that this prayer will be answered, right? We must ask in faith. We must ask believing that this prayer will be answered, and we must not doubt. Doubting what? We must not doubt that this prayer will be answered. So doubting equals not having certainty that God will answer this prayer. Pray, when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. You must believe that this prayer will be answered, and you must not doubt that truth, that this prayer will be answered. And doubting would be not having certainty that this prayer will be answered. And it could be that way. I think that idea is not only found in James. Jesus, when he teaches on prayer, talks about the importance of faith. And I believe so. We do want to pray. When we pray, we want to trust that God will move in answer to our prayers. For sure, right? When we pray, we don't want to go into prayer just wondering, questioning, and not sure at all that there is this prayer doing anything, right? When we pray, we want to trust that, yeah, God hears my prayers. God will move in answer to my prayers. If you don't have that attitude, why do you even bother praying, right? Then prayer is a meaningless exercise if you don't believe that God hears our prayers and that God moves in answer to our prayers. The Bible is full of examples and teachings about the power and the impact of prayer. So we believe, God, as I pray, I know that you are hearing, and I know that you are going to move in response to my prayers. And so, yeah, it's true. We want to pray believing that God will answer our prayers. When we humbly, sincerely turn to God and say, Lord, I need your wisdom for this situation. I need your wisdom from this situation. We will get it. God's going to come and answer to our prayers. But at the same time, I have found that this view, when taken to an extreme, can be misleading and harmful at times. It's this idea that when we pray, we must convince ourselves that the thing we're praying for will be given to us. We must convince God and ourselves that we don't have any doubt, that there is no hint of doubt or questioning or wondering, is this going to happen in us? And we have to convince ourselves and we have to demonstrate it to God, because if we somehow fail to do that, if somehow we give even a hint of doubt, then God will not answer this prayer. And when we have that mentality, I think what happens is our prayer turns into a formula, or it turns prayer into a formula, into some kind of a spell or some kind of superstition. You know, when I pray, if I just pray in the right way, if I pray in the right way without giving any hint of doubt, make sure that God doesn't see, people don't see, I don't even see in my own heart any hint of doubt in my words, in my behavior, then God will answer, or He must answer. As in, this is, if I can do this in the right, if I could just do it in the right way, make sure I don't have any doubt in my heart, in my words, in my behavior, then bam, God is going to answer my prayers. And on the flip side, it's this pressure of, I have to do it right. If I don't, if I give off any hint of doubting, if I, in my words, in my thoughts, in my behavior, give off any hint of doubting, God will not answer. If I don't do this prayer thing right, and if I get this wrong and somehow I have doubt in my heart, God will not answer. And if it doesn't get answered, maybe because I doubted. If it doesn't get answered, oh, maybe I didn't prove to God that I'm not doubting the certainty that He will answer this prayer, and that's why my prayer didn't get answered. Blaming ourselves. I think it can be harmful. When we have this mentality, when we read this text in this way and say, when I pray, I cannot have any doubt, because if I have any doubt, you cannot expect God to answer you in any way. And therefore, if it doesn't happen, oh, maybe I doubt it. And you know, it can get carried away. This idea can get carried away, because how do you demonstrate to God that you don't have any doubt? How do I demonstrate to God that I don't have any doubt in this prayer, God? Do you pray it louder? You know, you just say, I believe this is going to happen. I believe you're going to bring healing. I believe you're going to do this. I believe you're going to bring breakthrough. Do you just pray more fervently? You know, you just raise your voice, you raise your hands, you stomp your feet and say, I believe. As if you're convincing yourself, I believe. I'm not afraid, or I'm not worried that this may not happen. I don't have any doubt in my heart. I'm certain that this is going to happen. Do we make decrees and declarations, and we just get bolder and bolder and bolder in our declarations? You're going to heal this man. They're going to get pregnant. And you just make bolder and bolder decrees, as if to, dare I say, compensate for some feelings of uncertainty. And like, I'm not sure. What if it doesn't happen? And you compensate for it by making bolder decrees and declarations. And what I have found to be potentially harmful is, when we get carried away in this idea, we think we get so paranoid about displaying doubt that we refuse to consider the possibility of this prayer not being answered. So, I mean, to give you A simple example, you know, we've been praying and asking God and preparing for Joel to go into primary school. I can't believe we have to start so early in Hong Kong. We have to interview and apply to all these schools. And there was this particular school that we wanted Joel to, you know, get into. He interviewed. Praise God, we found out last Friday that he got into this school. But, you know, I mean, just silly example, but what if we like apply for this school, he does an interview, and we kind of take this idea to an extreme and we say, if I pray and not doubt that Joel will be accepted into this school, he's gonna get it. So we just pray, we only apply to one school, and we, anytime anybody ever says, oh, do you want to apply to some other schools? No! Because that's doubt. I'm not going to consider the possibility of this prayer not being answered. And so I'm not going to do that. I'm only going to just do this one thing and pray and be certain that God's going to answer. And I just think if that happens all the time and it gets taken into a formula, and you kind of make prayer into this thing of, if I just do it this right way and not show any hints of doubt, it's going to come. It'll be unhealthy. It'll be unhealthy. That's a silly example. There are much greater instances where the harm would be much greater if we just take this approach of, no, we're not going to consider the possibility. We're not going to get ready in, you know, if you guys know what I mean. The thing is, so many doubting prayers, uncertain, kind of wishful prayers get answered. If our idea of what this passage seems to say would mean that if we have doubtful prayers, doubting prayers, uncertain prayers, and it wouldn't be answered, but that's just not the case, right? In our Christian experience, it's not the case. So many times when you pray for somebody to be healed, are you 100% sure? Probably not. You're thinking, oh man, God, I please heal this person. And oftentimes, God will come and heal that person. In Mark 9, there's a story of the father who brings his daughter, a daughter or son, and Jesus says, if I can, man, if you believe, anything can be done. And he says, I do believe, but help my unbelief. Jesus doesn't turn him away and say, well, you're doubting in your prayers. Seemingly certain and doubtless prayers sometimes go unanswered, right? It doesn't go in the way that we wanted it to be answered. Prayers for overcoming temptation, right? We know for sure this God's will for me to overcome temptation, and we pray for it, but yet we still fall. Prayers for healing, prayers for breakthrough in different areas. And it's unmeasurable. It's unmeasurable. What constitutes a doubtless prayer? Like, how do you measure this? You know, many people have pointed out, and I think it's correct, that the very act of coming to God, kneeling and praying for a certain thing, praying for a man to be healed, that is a genuine demonstration already of your faith, of your trust, of your believing. So what more do you have to do to demonstrate? How do you measure whether or not this is a prayer of faith, this is a doubting prayer? So, I think there is, we have to be cautious. I think in a very simple sense, yes, when we pray, I mean, we pray because we believe. If we don't believe that God is answering and hearing our prayers, why do we even pray? So that's a basic fundamental thing that we have to believe and hold on to. God, when we pray, I know that you're hearing me. and you will answer. But I don't think it means we have to convince God, convince others, convince myself. There is zero hint of doubt, and that is the formula to get your prayer answered, and that is the reason your prayers don't get answered. And at least in this particular text, I don't think James is saying this. I don't think James is, when he says faith and doubt, I don't think that that's what he is pointing to. With the next 3 minutes, okay? I know it's 7:30, but I started 3 minutes late, so let's have three more minutes. What is James saying? What is James saying then? I believe what he's saying is, when you pray, believe. Or pray in faith. Believe what? Faith in what? Faith and trust and belief in God being the true source of wisdom. That when you go to God and you pray for wisdom, you're lacking wisdom and you're praying for, you come and ask God for wisdom, believing that He is the only true and right source of wisdom. Faith, trust, and belief in God's opinion being the right opinion. That when you come and ask God for wisdom, you better come believing that, you know what? His wisdom is the right wisdom. His perspective is the right perspective. And I'm not going to be wishy-washy. When God speaks and He gives a direction or gives a wisdom, I'm going to trust that and I'm going to follow that. I am ready as I ask Him to lead me to follow Him, and my heart is not wishy-washy. Like, I'm going to God, I'm asking for His wisdom, but really I'm also going to worldly philosophies. I'm also going to my own experiences or my own wisdom or the ways of this world. And I'm not sure whether or not this is true, but I'm going to pray. But I don't even know as I pray, like I'm not even sure I'm going to follow that. But I'm just kind of keeping my options open. Faith then translates into a willingness to obey however He leads us. It's that verse, Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Trusting in the Lord with all my heart, not leaning on my own understanding. That's the choice you make. That's the faith step that we make. Doubt, on the other hand, would look like being on the fence. One foot in the world, kind of the worldly ways, and the other foot on God, the ways of God. Imagine a marriage covenant. You know, can you imagine somebody getting married, but in his mind, in his heart, it's like, well, as long as she stays pretty, or whatever, I'm going to be committed. As long as He provides for me, I'm going to stay committed. But your other foot is ready to go. It's like, well, as soon as I feel like He's not my soulmate, she's not my soulmate, I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to explore my options. Why do I say this? Is because in verse 8, James states that a person who doubts in this way is a double-minded person. Being double-minded literally means having two souls, two spirits, you are two people. You are not having a one life that is devoted to God and loving God. You have two souls. One is given to God, one is given to the world. And if I want to encourage you, if you can read James chapter 4, that's the only other instance this word is used, double-minded, in this specific way. James chapter 4. And James chapter 4 is all about, don't love the world. If you love, don't you know that if you love the world, that means you are an enemy of God. If you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. Turn to God. Repent of your ways. Submit yourselves to him. And he says in verse 8, draw near to God, verse 8 of chapter 4, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So when James uses the word double-minded, he's not talking about doubting in the sense of I'm doubting, I'm not certain, I just have some like worry or like I'm not 100% sure this prayer is going to be answered. He's talking about divided loyalty. Divided loyalty. You like you love the world and you're kind of turning to the world. You kind of wish for the things of the world, but you know that you're a Christian or you're a follower of Jesus. You're supposed to pray. You're supposed to turn to God. You're supposed to give your heart to God, but you kind of do both. And James is saying, don't do that. When you pray, when you ask God for wisdom, lean on his wisdom only. Be willing to rely on his wisdom only. The study Bible that I use says this for this about this passage. James is not saying that our prayers will be answered only if we have a perfect faith that never entertains any kind of doubt. He is condemning the believer who is trying to serve two masters at the same time as Jesus does in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. The New Living Translation is helpful in kind of seeing this passage in this way. Verse 6 of chapter 1. When you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver. For a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. So application. Number one, don't worry too much about how you pray. When you come to God and you pray, you humble yourself, you come to God, you ask for his help, you probably are trusting him. You're probably trusting him when you come to EMP and you take the time that you pray. So don't worry too much about the mental state when you pray. But number two, consider, check your heart condition. It's not about the mental state when you pray, but it's about the heart condition. Are you given over to God completely? Are you relying on him? Am I relying on him and really giving myself to God, or am I on the fence on certain things? Do I still love the world and love the things of the world and kind of turn to the ways of the world? Or do I have my heart fully submitted, surrendered to God? Okay, so Sam is going to lead us in a song. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, God, for this time. Thank you, Lord, that, I mean, we know through and through in scriptures, we know that you hear our prayers, God, and you answer our prayers. When we pray, if we seek your face, you will answer. The door will be opened. We will receive, God, and we will find. And so I thank you so much for that. And I know that there is your promise that when we come to you asking for wisdom, that you will give it to us. But God, help us to not get carried away with this approach, you know, of not entertaining or making sure I'm not demonstrating, displaying, betraying my heart and the doubt that I have in my heart, or the uncertainty, the I'm not sure. I believe, as you did with the Father in Mark 9, that when we come to you and say, help me, God, in my unbelief, that you will answer that prayer too. And I pray that we would be healthy in our prayer life. Rather than worrying about the mental state, am I just certain? Have I convinced myself? But help us to consider more the heart condition of our lives, you know, that we would be surrendered to you and following you and trusting in you instead of trusting in the world or trusting in my own strength. So yeah, thank you, Father. We love you. God, thank you. In Christ alone is our hope, our strength, our wisdom, God. So we turn to you, Father. Let's pray today. Let's pray for our friends, our family members going through cancer. Let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for God's power. Let's pray for strength for them. In encouragement for them. Let's pray together. Let's pray for those who are sick and also in need of salvation. Let's pray for God's power to be released. Let's pray for those who have various infirmities. Let's just pray for God's healing, God's breakthrough to come upon them. Let's pray for those who are looking for a job. Let's pray for God's provision, God's leading and direction. Let's pray for our mission focus today. Let's pray for Japan, Pastor Sophia, Jungmin and Hyunjin, as they're meeting in person. So let's pray for God's presence, anointing for SP Tokyo. Pray for Kelly in India, Ange in Hong Kong, and Pastor Jenny in Cambodia with Oasis House, the Inner Healing House. Counseling and our healing ministry. So let's pray for these four areas. Let's pray for our missions council. Let's pray that they will be able to hear from God very well. Let's pray for unity and just a good, working together, synergy, you know, and helping each other and really making good decisions for our mission endeavors as a church. Let's pray for our local outreaches, Igape, Homey, Freedom, Bridge, Recreation, SP Lights. Let's pray for Tim as he oversees them all. Let's pray for the leaders of each ministry and all the volunteers and all the people that they minister to, that there will be breakthrough and fruit that comes out of this local outreach. And let's pray for more workers, more volunteers. Let's pray for foster and adoption ministry. Let's pray for Cadence as she leads this ministry. Let's pray for all the families who are fostering right now and the children that are being fostered. Let's pray for their forever home. Let's pray for God to do an amazing work in their hearts. For the Friday gatherings, IP team, SPU, SP youth. We also have a baptism class today. So if you can pray for us, for great encounters. Let's also pray for the house churches meeting tonight. It's number 7 on the list. Let's pray. Lastly, let's pray for the pregnant moms, Cecilia, Amanda, Angela, Joan, and there are many others. Let's pray for God's protection and grace and healthy babies, healthy moms. Let's pray. Thank you, God. We come before you. as your children, and we lift up all these requests before you. And I pray that you will answer us, Lord, and release your healing, release your breakthrough, release your anointing, release your provision, God. Thank you, Father. We love you. We give this day to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day today.